Often when I tell people I work in the church, people respond with a kind of cringe. For them, God, especially as depicted in the Hebrew scriptures or the Old Testament, as we often call it, God seems just angry, jealous, and vengeful. And I have to say, don't get me wrong, God is all of those things according to scripture. It's just that I happen to think that our discomfort with those facets of God says a lot about our discomfort with those facets of ourselves. But that is another sermon. So yes, I admit, God is angry, jealous, and vengeful. But if you actually take the time to read the Bible, you see that God is also loving, tender, steadfast, and full of delight, as we see today from our passage from Isaiah. Here, God delights over Jerusalem as she is returned to glory, as the Israelite exiles are brought back from their Babylonian exile, and the city's fortunes are restored. A lot of the metaphors here are actually very sensual, very sexual in the Hebrew, but again, that's another sermon. We see God delight in many places in Scripture, going back as far as the act of creation. When God surveys all that she has created and calls it good, delighting in the variation and abundance of the material world. We see God causing delight, too, in many places in Scripture. Prime example, right? The first miracle that Jesus performs in the Gospel of John, which happens not in a synagogue or in the halls of power, but at a simple small-town wedding in the sticks, where Jesus turns scarcity, the lack of wine, into abundance. The text actually tells us it's like 120 to 150 gallons of wine, which is more Carlo Rossi than any of us could consume in a lifetime. And it's delightful wine. The text makes sure to tell us that the wine is not only present, but it's very good indeed. In John, Jesus' miracles are always called signs, because they're not just magic tricks, but revelations, theophanies, which is why this miracle, along with the baptism of Jesus and the arrival of the Magi, is one of the three traditional focuses of the season of Epiphany. The sign here provided points not only just to Jesus' power, but also to God as a God who causes and wants us to experience delight. It harkens back to the psalm, right, where God not only offers refuge, but has God's people drink from the waters of the river of delight. Now, some of you may be thinking that this is an odd topic for today, the eve not only of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, right, but the eve of 4 years that are going to be very difficult for many, especially the most vulnerable among us. They will be, at the very least, 4 highly conflictual years. So why talk about delight when many of us are girding up to assert our basic right to exist and to strive for the dignity, peace, and justice we want all people to have? I do want to be clear that I'm not advocating for what's called toxic positivity these days, right? Aggressively brushing things under the rug, pretending all is well and good. I'm not advocating for accepting the status quo of the banal evil that pervades our lives these days. What I am advocating for is a practice of noticing and sharing delight, as it helps us perceive and proclaim God's goodness and God's ultimate victory over evil. God's victory in a world that is dead set on stripping us of that or any hope. Our capacity for noticing and causing delight is one way in which we are made in God's image and reflect that image back into the world. Delight, as I have said, is an attribute of God. The word delight is used over 100 times in Scripture. I actually looked this up in a concordance. And in the New Testament, it's particularly used when God delights when God's purposes are being achieved, or when God's glory is readily on display. God delights in the baptism of Jesus. Unfortunately, it gets translated, "with you I'm well pleased." It's God delighting in Jesus. Or in the transfiguration, which closes out the sort of season of Epiphany. Taking delight in the world around us also means we have to slow down and notice it. We have to engage with it. To delight in something, you have to really see it for what it is. Which means that practicing delight means combating the temptation to completely disengage or disassociate when things are difficult or tense. I admit to you, my brothers and sisters, that that is one of my primary coping methods and something I have to actively combat in myself. Delight is also almost by definition a very generous emotion. To delight in something, or better yet, to delight in someone, you have to be willing to celebrate them as they are, not how you wish they were. Paul, when writing to the Corinthians in the passage we read today, is writing to a highly conflictual church, There's a lot of division going on and people arguing. The divisions are larger on class, power, and wealth. In his letter, Paul takes pains again and again to remind the Corinthians of who they are, which is God's beloved community in Corinth. And here we see him inviting them to delight in their differences, to notice them, engage them, and celebrate them as gifts of God, rather than to gloss over or ignore them. Delight is generous, too, in that our instinctual response is most often to share it. If you've ever been standing next to a complete stranger when a particularly beautiful bird goes by or a really interesting-looking dog, and you have to turn to each other and share the moment. I was at a birthday party for a three-year-old. This is how I spent a lot of my Saturdays in January yesterday. And as soon as kids do something adorable, the adults turn and look at each other because we want to share that moment with each other. We don't hoard good jokes or good pictures, right? We share them because we know that delight grows as it is shared. In this way, delight can be a way of creating connection, of laying aside differences, or to rejoice together in the good that is still in the world. Or as Paul invites us, to rejoice in how our differences are all gifts of the same God, the same Spirit who hovered over the world in the beginning of creation, who delights when our communities are at peace and when justice is done. A God who turns our scarcity into delight, even in the most mundane small town moments of our lives. Because of all that, looking for and delighting even in small things in our everyday lives can be an act of doing theology and an act of resistance. First, it helps us maintain the spiritual and psychological resources to fight evil. Again, Scripture wants us to cry out and not be silent. That's how the passage of Isaiah starts. God rejoices, God delights in justice because God has worked for that justice. God has moved towards that justice again and again. But only working for justice, only focusing on what needs to be changed, eventually takes a toll on our spirits and psyches if it's all we're doing day in and day out. Second, delight reminds us that there is good in the world, or at least that God has created the world for good. Out of love. It reminds us that God delights in the world when it's properly ordered and cared for. Delight can be evidence of the Spirit's presence and assurance that when all is said and done, it is God's goodness that has the final word. Remember, too, that wedding at Cana, right? There's almost, the text almost as an afterthought. It's like, oh yes, Jesus and his disciples were also there. But the sign is for them, and them primarily. Everyone at the wedding delights, right? But the disciples, that core group of people who are primed and ready to see this not just as something delightful that happened to happen, but as a sign, they are ready to see it. And the text tells us it moved them to belief, which, as we know, moved them to discipleship, moved them to ministry, moved them to action for the benefit of the whole world. So this week, even tomorrow, I invite you to take part in the spiritual practice of seeking delight, which means noticing it, really seeing it, really engaging with the world around you, seeing the world around you in all of its variety, all of its abundance, and all of its God-given splendor. And like any good news, remember to share that so that the world may share in your delight and the world may know the glory of our God. Amen.